Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. And we are Nahastan anila nijane go shabotya, nijane go shabotya. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Ah!
traditional grass dance song from the Kicking Women Singers off their Canyon Records CD, Our Way of Life. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, the grass dance originated from the Native Nations of the Great Plains, who, when they lived nomadically, following their buffalo relatives, would prepare a new village site by a ceremonial dance in order to flatten the prairie grasses prior to placing their teepee lodges. Ashkway greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. In today's program, we are honored to share a conversation I had with the Tselagi Cherokee ethnobotanist, Mr. David Winston. In the Tselagi Cherokee culture, one who is a plant healer or herbalist is greatly respected. They are known as a Cherotaki. David, welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio. I would like to start our conversation with a question about the importance of caring for all of our relations. As we say in my Wabanaki language, Kanon Wantakwasin. In indigenous cultures, one who respects and uses plant medicines for the benefit and well-being of the community understands that this knowledge is a gift from the Creator, Ketantue. One basic tenet of Native life is also to use one's knowledge for caring for and protecting Mother Earth. How do you as a Cherotaki honor this principle to not only care for our people, but also for all life in Mother Earth?
Well, my elders in North Carolina have told me that the original people here, one of their original instructions that Iyona Lahi, that which created breath, gave the people was to be a caretaker for the land. And then the white people, the Yonig, they came here and they took the land, but they didn't take away the people's responsibility to be caretakers for the land. Over the years, it's gotten to the point where the traditional people's land has shrunk, and so they hold very little of the land in their own hands. But the instructions that they were originally given are still there. And so what my elders have told me is that it is now time for all traditional people who still remember their original instructions of ways to hold the land and to keep it sacred and to respect the plant and the stone and the water and the fire and the cloud and the star nation, all those things. My elders have said it is time for us to take that information and teach the people who now control the land those things. I really agree with that, primarily because if we don't, they're going to destroy it. You know, there won't be any land left, and there won't be any land left for any nation, whether it be in South Dakota or whether it be in Maine or whatever. If acid rain or nuclear bombs or pollution or whatever destroys the land, it's gone. My elder once said to me, the problem with land is they just don't make it anymore. And if we blow it here, we're not going to go to the moon or to Mars or someplace else and live. We've got to make it work here. And so it's really important that people who remember those original instructions pass it down to their children, and that people take a responsibility to pass that information of sacred way of living on to the people who now control the land.
In my traditional Wolf Clan teachings, I was raised that our plant relatives are our brothers and sisters, and we must always remember that the plant people planted about on Mother Earth are related to us with a life much like our own. We must always be grateful to the plant life. Our plant relatives keep and restore our health. Our plant relatives, used in ceremony, keep and care for our spirit and guide us in the ways to go about on the Mother Earth with prayer to the Creator. David, would you please talk about the importance of having respect for the plant life, especially the importance of gathering plants in a sincere and sacred way. In my Wabanaki tradition, when one is gathering and using plants, either as food or for medicines, it is necessary to ask permission of our plant relatives. We must always gather and use our plant relatives in a respectful way. My Wabanaki elders instruct us to gather only the amount of plants we need at the time, not to be greedy or wasteful in using our plant relatives. David, what are your comments?
In the Anikotua tradition, Cherokee tradition, we believe that in this world, the first relations that were created were the stone. And after the stone, the trees and the green were created, then the animals and then the two-leggeds. And so we're the babies, we're really young, and we don't really know anything, but we think we know a whole lot. When we go to our relations, the green people, they're much older than we are. They're our elders, and so we should always go to them in a way of respect and honoring them, recognizing that they know so much more than we do. If we go to them, you go down like in North Carolina, and there's a lot of mountain people there, and what they do is they'll go out and gather plants, and they gather them out of season. The reason they're gathering them is money. Not that it's wrong to help for plant to make your living from plants, but they don't care about the plants. They have no respect for the plants. There may be 10 ginseng plants, and ginseng to us is a really sacred plant. We believe it's the chief of medicine plants, and we call it a nisa. They'll go and they'll rip every single one out. They won't leave anything, you know, and they have no respect for the plants. All it is to them is a dollar bill, a green frog skin. We look at plants very differently. When you go and you want to gather a plant, the first thing you do is you go with an attitude of respect. I always tell people, think of this plant as if it was the most person you respected most in the world. You know, think of somebody you respect more than anybody else, you know, whoever it is, somebody you really would be honored to meet. And then take that feeling and transfer that to the plant. That's how you should go to these plants. They are elders, they're wise. I was saying in a talk yesterday that in these books, all the ethnobotany books and all the herbal books out there, it always says that the early people discovered the use of plants by trial and error. And I think that's so funny because it's not true. It's not true that we discovered it by trial and error. If that was the case, there's many things that you eat and a week later to kill you. There would be no way to know that what you ate a week ago killed you. I was explaining then that some of the things that we use, we learn from the animals, like the bear, Yonah, who uses many plants for healing. But other things we learn directly from the plants themselves. And so they can teach us if we go to them in a sacred way. In fact, in the Cherokee tradition, the plants actually, at one point, when the animals and the insects realized that man was totally out of harmony and creating a lot of damage in the world, they tried to destroy man. And the plants basically saved man. And they gave themselves to man, but the story says that we must go to them in a sacred way and in a good way. And I don't think many people do that anymore. So we go to gather a plant. We always make sure, first of all, there's enough plants. Before we gather any, there has to be a substantial community of plants, a tribe. And if there's not a substantial tribe of plants there, then we will take none. When we gather ginseng, we always go, the first four plants we go to, we never take them. We just go to the plants and we make an offering of tobacco, honor them in that way. Anytime we gather a plant, we always take tobacco to honor them. Sometimes if in a healing ceremony, we may offer blood, our own blood, flesh offering, just to show that we're really serious about this. So we offer the plants, we honor them, we always sit down with the plant and ask permission to gather some of the plant, and we wait until the plant acknowledges us and says either yes that we can take some or no that we cannot. If they say no, that means no. You know, we don't say, well, I'll only take a little bit. If they say no, you don't take any. If you listen to the plants, often if they say no, maybe you're looking for the wrong plant. Maybe it's not the thing that you really need. And we always explain why we're taking it. So-and-so is sick and they need this for health, or I need this to eat, or whatever the reason is. But we always explain why we're doing it. And with those circumstances and in that way, we gather plants in a sacred way. When you gather plants that way, first of all, they're stronger medicine than if you just rip them out of the earth. They're giving themselves to you as opposed to you taking them. And we as two-leggeds are really good at taking. We're not very good at giving back. Also, at the same time, there's a much greater chance that you're going to get the effect you want. If you're working with herbs and you're doctoring somebody, you give them a plant that's been gathered in a sacred way, you're going to see a response. You're going to see that medicine doing something. And you take it in the way that most things are taken, just ripped out of the earth, you may not get that response you're looking for. You may have a totally different response. You start getting side effects. You start getting strange things happening. Or maybe sometimes it just doesn't work at all.
Thank you.
From Anishinaabe flutist Raymond Redfeather from his New Visions music CD, Emergence. The name of the song is The Old Ones, an honor song to our ancestors and elders. Ray is a longtime friend of mine who does cultural education and flute making workshops and performances throughout North America and Europe. Mr. Redfeather's Heartwood Flutes website, www.heartwoodflutes.com, has many beautiful handcrafted flutes for purchase, as well as the CDs entitled Cedar Roots and Emergence. My guest today in Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, is Tselagi ethnobotanist Mr. David Winston. David, in Indigenous people's cultures, we know that health is related to how one's spirit and attitude depends upon one's relationship to the creation. Health is not just a physical or medical condition. Health and well-being is deeply rooted in a person's life way. If one lives in balance with creation by caring for Mother Earth, by caring for one's community, by caring for oneself and taking care of your spirit through prayer and ceremony, then the healing plants placed here by the Creator will keep us strong and in good health. It is important for people to respect the plant medicine healing ways and to understand that the use of plant medicines to restore us to health should not be thought of just in terms of pharmacology. In Western medicine, sickness is often only thought about in terms of physical or biological illnesses, where symptoms are treated primarily on the basis of drug dosages for certain conditions. Certainly, the use of medicine herbs do in fact heal certain ailments, but in traditional Native American healing, our plant relatives are respected more for than just their pharmacological properties. A plant healer medicine person uses the healing plants for ceremony, either to keep a person strong in good health or to help restore one's health through caring of one's spirit. David, please talk about how a person's health is dependent upon a person's cultural life way. In Native societies, to be in balance and in harmony with oneself and all life is of utmost importance. When one is out of balance and out of harmony, then one suffers poor health. Healing in Native cultures through the use of medicine plants also is related to and depends upon one's relationship to our sacred Mother Earth. David, please comment on this.
Well, my elders have told me that they believe that most disease, what we call disease, starts first in the spirit, and then it goes to the mind, and then it manifests in the body. I'm sure there's, like, you know, you're walking along, you break your leg, that's more physical, but most diseases that we know of today really start in the spirit, and that's because so many people in our world, their spirits are sick, and they're ill, out of harmony. There's a couple of things I can mention about what you just said. One thing is that we believe that people are innately tribal, just like plants are tribal and animals are tribal. And because we're innately tribal, but so few of us live in a tribal community anymore, or we don't live in strong communities anymore, that's one of the reasons that people are often out of balance. The way the dominant culture lives is unhealthy. We also believe that the world as a whole, Turtle Island, this sacred altar we call the Earth, if the Earth is ill, then there's no way that you can be well. Okay, so illness is not just a personal thing, although it's usually, there is the personal aspect with out of the mind and the spirit. It also deals with community, and it deals with the whole earth is a living being. So many times in a healing ceremony, it's not just designed to heal the individual. It works on trying to heal the community and the individual's place in the community and healing Turtle Island and the individual's place within Turtle Island. And so it's a really broad-based sort of thing. It's not just one person with one symptom. It shows that there's an imbalance there. We look at plants as having communities also, tribes. And within those, there's also what we call societies. Maybe it could even be considered maybe a clan. We have, for plants, there's plants that predominantly heal the body. And then there's plants that heal the mind. And there's plants that heal the spirit. And some plants heal all of those. For instance, tobacco, which we see as a female plant. One of the reasons we believe tobacco, and we're talking about the real original tobacco, not that thing they put in cigarettes. One of the reasons it's so powerful is that it heals, it affects every single aspect. Most plants maybe affect one or two, but tobacco will affect all three. So will cedar and sage and sweetgrass. That's why they are also very spiritual and powerful plants. When we're dealing with healing, the way we work with plants in healing, we're not looking at the plant just to deal with the physical symptoms of the illness. We want to look way beyond that. And most Western herbalists or doctors or whatever, they're looking at symptomologies. And Western medicine has gotten to the point now where they recognize the mind, but they still don't recognize the spirit. Recently, my elder was asked to be on this is funny, somehow some public TV station asked him to do this thing on the mind, this TV show. And he refused to do it, he said, because they didn't recognize the spirit. He said they would recognize the mind, you know, but without the spirit, he says, the mind's only a little part of it, and the spirit is a big part of it. The fact that they wouldn't recognize the spirit, he said, there was no way he could talk to them. They wouldn't understand what he was trying to say, and he didn't feel like wasting his breath, and his words, which are sacred. It's really important that we recognize that it's a much broader scale thing. It's not just you take this plant for this illness. Sometimes it's fine. You can take some catnip tea for your stomach ache, or you can take some yarrow tea for your fever, or you can take some calamus root, you know, for flu or things like that. You know, those are fine, and it's okay to use plants that way, especially if you gather them in a sacred way. But you don't want to limit yourself, because you know if that is going on with you, if you have a headache, especially it's a sort of regular thing where you need to look deeper with inside yourself. I had my own personal experience with that one time. I was not brought up in a traditional way, and I remember my grandfather telling me about some of these things, but he basically told me these things. I only met him a couple of times when he was dying, and he was on his deathbed, and my father doesn't know anything about these things. My mother is not in this tradition. I remember growing up, feeling very alone in the world because the plants talked to me and the stones talked to me. I was lucky enough to be born blind and brain damaged. And I had a lot of operations and things when I was a little child, and it changed me in a good way, although maybe at the time I didn't know it. One of the things that had happened at this point in growing up in that tradition is that when I was 15, I started meeting traditional people and eventually met the people who became my elders. And they showed me a whole different way of looking at things, you know, and I never felt real comfortable with the dominant culture way of looking at things anyway. But they showed me that I didn't have to feel like I was alone in the world. There was people who thought the way that I thought and who looked at the earth as a sacred thing. So one day, when I was in my 20s, I decided I was married to a woman who didn't believe in this. She didn't like it, and she hated when I went to ceremony. And she hated when I talked about these things, and she just really didn't like these things at all. Well, I tried to put these things aside. I thought, well, it's not that important. And it was the stupidest thing I ever said in my life, because I have no choice about these things. It's just, it's a part of me. Well, one morning I woke up. The night before I went to sleep, I was fine. In the morning I woke up, and my knees were swollen up the size of bowling balls, and my eyes, I couldn't see. And I was scared. I was really scared. I didn't know what was going on, and went to a doctor, and they couldn't find anything wrong at all. And I spent a couple days in bed because I couldn't walk and I couldn't see. And I thought about it, and the only thing that kept coming back to me was the fact that, you know, you can't turn away. It's like cutting off your arm, cutting off your legs. That's what you're doing to yourself. And the relationship ended very soon after, and I went back to working with my elders and studying these ways, and those problems disappeared. Sometimes the illnesses are things we create ourselves by pulling ourselves out of the balance of the whole.
My next question refers to what we term ghost sickness. Ghost sickness is related to what we were just talking about, how one's health is related to one's cultural life ways. When people separate themselves from the Mother Earth, from their spirit journey, when people lose respect for the sacred or disregard traditions and ceremony, will forget every day to give thanks to Mother Earth and the Creator, then people suffer from what we call ghost sickness. Too many people deaden their hearts from drugs and alcohol. Too many people have drifted away from their spirit. Much of the concern and work of Yad Kiddushi Native Center is in trying to help all peoples respect and better care for the sacredness of Mother Earth. We traditional people know that part of caring for Mother Earth is in respecting one's spirit and in respecting oneself. In order to honor the earth, it is necessary to walk in balance and in harmony with the creation. It is my hope that those that suffer from this pain of ghost sickness may be able to regrow their dead in spirit. David, please comment on this topic of ghost sickness.
Ghost sickness is a sickness of the spirit. Dominant culture doesn't recognize it. Doctors don't recognize it. Psychiatrists, when they see it, they give it funny names. They say it's depression, and they say it's anxiety, and they give it all these different clinical names, but we call it ghost sickness. And ghost sickness happens when there's an imbalance between the body and the mind and the spirit. And one of the main causes culturally, and this is both native people and dominant culture people, of ghost sickness is the use of drugs and alcohol. Unfortunately, and many people think that these things, well, it dulls the pain and it makes life more bearable and worth living. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, there's nothing, marijuana is harmless and things like that. We think it's very dangerous, because one of the things it does is it loosens the natural protections that you have around your spirit, and it allows your spirit to leave your body. If your spirit leaves your body, eventually you get sick and you get ghost sickness, and it can be sort of a progressive sort of thing. It starts off, it's very mild, and you just feel lost and empty inside. But eventually it gets to the point where somebody can look in your eyes and there's no one there. There's no spirit. We believe that we have set in Cherokee, the Aniketua believe that you have 7 lifetimes. And each lifetime we try to reach the next heaven. We say there's 7 heavens. And if you reach the 7th heaven, you go on to a place called the Sunland. In that process, the spirit, Christians say the spirit is eternal. And that may be, I don't know. But my elders tell me that the spirit can die. But only we can kill our own spirit. No one else can do that to you. So we kill our spirits sometimes by using these things, these drugs and alcohol, or there's other things too, but those are sometimes, I think TV does it too. These things, they destroy us. They take us away from the earth. I've seen people who are heavy drug users, and it seems like they go through, maybe they use drugs heavily or alcohol for 10 years, and it's like for 10 years, they disappeared. And there's nobody there, and there's no accomplishment, and there's nothing has happened in their life. And eventually it destroys the physical body also. But the physical body is not even all that important, especially when you're dealing with your spirit. Because if you destroy your spirit, that's it. No more times, no more chances to grow and to become a human being. And that's what it's all about. My elders say that we only come here for 2 reasons. One is to grow, to become a human being, to learn our full potential, what the Creator placed within us. Great gifts that we have. And the other reason is to leave this earth in a better way than we found it for our generations to come. We got a lot of work to do that. This earth is not like, you know, when they write, you read these early descriptions of the Europeans when they came here, and they virtually describe this country as like the Garden of Paradise, Eden. I mean, the descriptions is there's food everywhere and it's beautiful. And as I travel around the country, and I spend a lot of time traveling around, I always think to myself, what did this place look like before they ripped up the earth and tore down the trees and all those things? And sometimes I know it's really hard because I look at those things and I see it and feel a lot of pain. And sometimes I just want to run away from that pain. It hurts. But the one way that I found for myself that works to help deal with the pain is to try to do something about it, to utilize that in a positive way, to try to make some kind of a difference in it. It only has to be a little difference. If everybody makes a little difference, then a true change can be made. You don't have to do it all by yourself. Getting back to ghost sickness, it's the sort of thing where, in the beginning, one of the reasons it's so dangerous is it's very subtle. You don't notice it. At first, it's just a little, as I said, a little feeling of emptiness or loneliness or separation. But it gets worse and worse until there's nothing inside. We believe that the spirit, our spirit, is in our heart. And so when you have ghost sickness, not only do you have no spirit, but you no longer have a heart. And so that's when people, they look at trees and all they can think is board feet and lumber. And they look at another person and all they can see is some way to utilize that person for their own personal advantage. Because they've lost their heart. And that's a real sad thing. And it's a really unfortunate thing. And in a sense, I was lucky because I grew up, we didn't have a lot of money or anything like that. But I never had to go hungry or didn't have a roof over my head, and I saw what all those things that money can buy, cars and radios and TVs and stereos and all that stuff, seeing it right there, you recognize really quickly that having those things isn't going to bring you happiness and it's not going to make you feel whole. But so many people that I know who live out in South Dakota on the reservation or on Quala Boundary in North Carolina have never had those things. And so they still want those things. They think maybe that'll do it. And unfortunately, those things never do. Material possessions never do it. Traditions and ceremonies, though, and finding your way in the earth and being strong and balanced, that really fills that place, that empty place inside, better than anything. We're out of balance. It's like you're standing on a piece of rocky ground and you're standing on one foot on your tiptoes, and any breeze that comes along just knocks you right over. You're totally, you know, you're swaying this way and that way. But when you are in harmony, when you're in balance, you're both feet on the ground and you're strong, and it doesn't matter how strong of a wind comes by, it doesn't move you. And I think ceremony, and it doesn't matter whether it's your community ceremony, even if it's on a personal level, praying when you rise with the sun and praying when the sun sets at night and recognizing the full moons and the new moons and just the natural cycles and rhythms that occur around us, that connects you back into the earth, and it helps to heal you and it helps to heal the earth.
Kishela Listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinonwatakwisi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of Sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yatkidichi Native Center, write to Yatkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yatkidichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
America, you invite the red man to sit at your table, be your guest, to justify the gift that you are keeping. But now you tell us that you like us the best, and the black man is waiting on the sideline for the chance to get into your game, to show you that he's just as good as you are, prove to you that he can be the same. And the triangle that you have created keeps you by yourself, keeps you paranoid for the red, white, and blue that you keep flying, for the red, white, and black that you avoid. Cause the red man was here so long before you, while the black man was a slave you brought ashore, and the red man was killed to free a frontier, while the black man was killed for sport and nothing more. And you wonder why the red man won't delight you. You should wonder why the black will never be. Cause you came to this land because you wanted freedom, but that you have forgotten now that you are free.
As they went, they found a buffalo. And so as he went, he rode up to this one buffalo, and he shot him as he was running. As the buffalo ran, he pointed at his heart area and let go, and the arrow went piercing through him. This wounded buffalo turned on him and his horse, and he gored his horse in the side. This horse went overhead, and my grandfather was thrown. And how long he laid there, he don't remember, because he was knocked out. When he came to, he could hear the thunder was gone from the hooves of the buffalo as they went beyond his hearing. He looked and he saw this huge buffalo coming towards him. He was wounded too, and he thought, well, I'll give up, because this buffalo's going to kill me. It's going to gore me, and I will be put to death too. So he prayed, my grandfather prayed, and he said, Tunkashala Ushimalayo, Tunkashala Ushimalayo, he said. Us Indians, we pray all the time. We don't let go of our Creator. We always pray for everything. And that's what Grandpa did. And he had faith. So he laid still, and this buffalo was coming, grunting, and the ground shook above him. The buffalo talked to him. And the buffalo said, Hakuja, hemielo, nitrukashila hemielo. He said, grandson, this is me, your grandfather. The buffalo called him White Butterfly. He said, grandson, White Butterfly, this is me, your grandfather. He said, when after I leave you, grandson, I am going into the spirit world now. You see all these buffaloes, he said, them are your people. Them were my people. I ruled them. I taught them. I provided for them. I guarded them. But now I am going to leave you, grandson, White Butterfly. But from now on, after I leave you, your name is going to be No Two Horn. Remember that. And he said, when I fall ahead of you and leave you, he said, stand up and look towards the east. And there you will find a medicine, which is the Wiohiampataha, he said, the east, which is a life, new life, Wiohiampataha, the south. That means new life and healing. You will find another root, another medicine there. I'm giving these to you to use. And then when you turn to the west, Wiohpataha, they said you will find another medicine. You take the root and you use it. He said you will be living a long time and long life, for you teach the people how to live and to have a long life. He said, grandson, I had a long life. That's why I don't have no horns. He said, and I'm glad that I'm going to leave you. But you turn to the north, and there you'll find another medicine. Take the root, because that's for strength for your life. Use these four roots, and them are your medicines for life. And he also knew about that horse that was gored. He said, the water that you carry on your side, he said, and take that root, the new life, he said, take that root and chew it. Take the water from your side, he said, and wash your animal that was gored. Wash it off and put all the insides back in there. And chew up that life, that healing. Chew that up and blow it onto that horse. And it will heal your horse. And the new life, blow that into his nostrils. And blow the strength from the north. And blow that into his nostrils and rub him with long life, and your horse will be all right. That's the first miracle, to show you that I'll be with you all your life. Your people are depending upon you, grandson. So take this, and other miracles you can find out that you are from the Khatanka Oyate. You're going to be the first of the Tatranka Oyate. When any trouble comes, we're going to come and help you. We will be with you, he said. And so then he gave up the spirit and left. So my grandfather did just what he told him. I live. For what my grandfather said was the truth, and many things have happened to me to show me that I am from the Buffalo people. And my grandfather, he lived to be over 100 years old. Everything he did was good for the benefit of his people. Thank you.
Oh. Oral history from Turtle Island Storytellers. You just heard Lakota Elder, Zona Lone Arrow, talk about her hung papa grandfather, Joseph No Two Horns. Previously, a buffalo story, we played Floyd Westerman's classic song, Red, White, Black. The song you heard prior to our Yad Kiddushin Native Center program identification was an honor song to Tsalagi elder, Mr. Hawk Littlejohn, from Native American singer-songwriter Jim Beer, off Jim's CD, Jim Beer and the River, a tribute to Hawk Littlejohn. Many years ago, I had the privilege of meeting Hawk during a visit to the Qualla Reservation when I attended an Indigenous Environmental Network gathering. Hawk was a very special person, and I know that Mr. Littlejohn was also a mentor to today's program guest, David Winston. I want to thank David for sharing his thoughts today on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Please listen next week for program two of my conversation with Cherokee David Winston. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio. We shall conclude today's program with a song from Native American singer-songwriter David Allen, off his CD, Spirits from the Badlands, which he gifted me during my last trip to the sacred Black Hills, Pahasapa. The name of the song is Thunder Nation. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kinan Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Weapons and take courage.